Hello and welcome to the Journeys Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, we invite you to check out The Journey live this Sunday at 10:30 a.m. at Boca Raton Community High School. Visit bocajourney.com for service times and directions. Now let's join lead pastor Nelson Searcy as he teaches live at The Journey.
All right. Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Nelson. If we haven't had a chance to meet, and welcome to The Journey, the one day a year you get to wear your jackets and your sweaters. So glad to have you here. Must be warmer on this side. Like from up here, everybody's sitting on this side. So you guys, thank you for sitting over on that side. Cold on that side, huh? All right. Well, we're in a series called Step Up, and I'm really glad that you're here. Today, we're talking about Step Up for Generosity. And just to cut to the chase, let me just tell you, at the end of your life will be defined by others and by God, by one of two words when it comes to this area. Your life will either be defined by greed or generosity. And you get to choose. Which one of those do you want to define your life? Do you want it to be greed? Now, contrary to a movie that I grew up watching called Wall Street, greed is not good. Instead, greed is bad. Greed is life draining. Greed leads to paranoia. Greed leads to a lose-lose proposition. Greed is dehydrating. And greed leads to ultimate dissatisfaction with life. But you have another choice. And that is your life can be defined by generosity. Generosity leads to a satisfying life, a life that makes a difference, a life that is win-win for you and for the others, a life that is life-giving. And so you get to choose, is it going to be greed or generosity? Well, today I want to challenge you to choose generosity. And I want to show you how God wants to bless you by living a generous life through you when it comes to your time, your talent, your treasure, and your testimony. So if you're interested in that, grab your message notes. They're inside your program. And let's go to our memory verse, which is right up front today, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. And in this verse, God gives us this challenge to step up when it comes to generosity. And I'm going to read it, but then if you'll join me at the end of the verse and read the last phrase with me. But I'll start us, and it begins this way. But since you excel in everything, since you have stepped up in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and complete earnestness and in your love for us, here's the challenge. Let's read this last phrase together, starting with see that. Ready? Go. See that you also excel in this grace of giving. Now, stay with me right here at this page for a second. God says, step up, excel when it comes to giving. In other words, don't let your life be defined by greed. Let your life be defined by generosity. And here's what I can guarantee. I guarantee your life will be happier and more blessed if you choose generosity. I guarantee that your life will be more of a blessing to others, and your life will be more blessed by God if you step up for generosity, stepping up in the areas of time, talent, treasure, and testimony. Now, did you know that surveys are actually done worldwide about how generous we are? In fact, I saw just last year's report came out. It's called the World Giving Index. And in the World Giving Index, they actually measure the generosities of countries. And here's what they measure. They go in and they do research on how giving people are in certain countries when it comes to monetary giving, volunteering, and helping strangers. Now, they survey 135 countries, but would you be interested to see the top five? I was kind of interested. I was interested to see, number one, if the United States even showed up in the top five, but then also to see some other countries that made it on the list, some that were surprising. So, for example, number five, the fifth most generous nation in the world is Ireland. I've been working all week on like an Irish accent, but I don't have it. So if Liam Neeson is here, I would love for you to come up and say something. But the Irish, I mean, think about that. Small little country, but yet rated number five in generosity. Now, number four is Canada, our neighbor to the north. And I bet we have some Canadians here, in fact. You know, it seems like Canadians are kind of a... Okay, great. All right, apparently we have one backstage. All right, so Canada coming up at number four. Number three, I don't know how to pronounce this country, Myanmar. When I was a kid, we called it Burma. But think about that. That little country that's had a lot of tragedy is now number three when it comes to generosity. Number two, this was a bit of a surprise, New Zealand. Now, did you know Pastor Matt did his PhD in New Zealand? I thought the only folks in New Zealand were folks like him and hobbits. And I'm not saying he's a hobbit. I'm just saying there's a correlation between these two. But way to go, New Zealand. Now, before I reveal this last one to you, what do you think's number one? Don't say it out loud. I will tell you this, that the United States moved up. The United States moved up 5 points or 5 places in the list. But number one, I was surprised, is the United States. And the United States is ranked in the world. It was number 5 last year, but it's stepped up to number 1. Now, unfortunately, Greece came in last place. That's my historical heritage. My name is a Greek name. We came in last out of the 135. But here's what was most encouraging. When you look at the data overall, the world is becoming more generous. For example, here's a few stats that they discovered. 47% of the country surveyed, 47% of the people in the country surveyed, reported helping a stranger last year. That's up 2.5%. Almost 20% of people reported volunteering during the last year. That was up about 1.5%. Now, we're way above average in that area. Here at The Journey, on any given week, about 50% of our folks are volunteering 1 hour or more. And over the course of, a two or three month period, we have close to 80 to 90% of our church members volunteering. So we're way ahead in that area. 28.5% reported having donated money in the last year. That was up slightly, about 1.5%. And then women are more likely to volunteer and donate money than men. So I just kind of let that sit for whatever it means. Now, so guys, we have to step it up, I suppose. Now, just to tell you, the good news is, guys, we were only behind by like 1%. So if we make a little effort over the next year, we can probably catch up. Now, this next year at The Journey, you're going to have opportunities in these areas. This next year at The Journey, if you choose to step up, you will have opportunities to volunteer your time. You will have opportunities to help strangers like those in need or those who are poor. You're going to have opportunities to give financially and be a blessing to others. You're going to have opportunities here at our church to be generous, to live this life of generosity. And the more you choose to be generous, the more God can bless your life. You see, if it's important to you and you want to be blessed by God, you have to understand generosity from God's perspective. And you see, when God looks at your life, he doesn't just look at generosity when it comes to money. Money is actually just a small piece of the generosity puzzle. It's a big piece, but it's just one piece. Living a generous life is a little bit about finances, and it's a lot about the other stuff that God has entrusted to you. Your time, your skills, sharing of your faith, and what you say with your words. So let's think about how we can step up for generosity. If you want to turn over in your notes, if you look at what the Bible says regarding generosity, the challenge is to be generous in 4 areas. So if you summarize all that the Bible has to say, and we'll look at a number of verses today, but certainly not all of them when it comes to generosity. But if you summarize all that the Bible has to say, you can break it down that being generous means making 4 life-altering decisions. And these are decisions, by the way, that you can make if you're a brand new believer, and some of you are. They're decisions that you recommit to if you're a mature believer and you've been following Christ for a long time. These 4 areas don't go away. But what's also interesting is even if you're here and you're not yet a follower of Jesus, my gut is that there's something inside of you that resonates with this generosity idea. And you see, even people who are not yet followers of Jesus, they want to be generous. They want to make a difference. That's why when tragedy strikes halfway around the world, people will log on to the internet or go with their cell phones or send in donations. Not just Christians doing that. Everybody wants to live a generous life. And we get to do this because God's being generous to us. And then when you become a Christian and you realize how generous God has really been to you and how much God has really blessed you, then you want to step it up like we're talking about today. So, stepping up for generosity, number one, means being generous with my time. Being generous with my time. And the reason it starts with time is because my time is ultimately my life. And what I do with my time is going to define what I do with my life. Some of you may have seen the Thursday email we send out. If not, I would encourage you to take a look at that. Each week we try to update you on what's going on at The Journey. And I snuck in the Thursday email a homework assignment to read the story of the Good Samaritan. Now, if you missed it, that's okay. You can read it this week. It's found in Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37. We won't read this story, but we all are familiar. We won't read it now, but we're all familiar with this story of the Good Samaritan. In summary, there was this guy who was traveling, along the path from Jerusalem to Jericho. And in a rather treacherous area of the path, he was attacked by bandits, and this guy was left for dead on the side of the road. And then as the story unfolds, there's three people who come along. The first two people, I'm ashamed to say, are religious professionals. Not so much like me, more like, you know, Pastor Matt and Pastor Jason, but they come by, and I guess they're in too much of a hurry. They don't have time to help this guy. And so the first two guys, they just hustle on by and they ignore him. They see him. It's clear that they know the person is hurting, but they don't take time to stop and help. But then a third person comes along, and this person is where we get the name Good Samaritan, because he was a Samaritan. And that doesn't mean anything today, but in those days, the Jews and the Samaritans, they didn't get along. So here's this Jewish person that's been attacked by bandits, and of all people, the spies, the hated Samaritan comes along, and he chooses to stop and help. He chooses to overcome that prejudice, to step out in love, to take the time that was needed, to bandage up some of the wounds, to take this person to a local hotel, to offer to pay the bill, and said, keep an eye on him. I'll check in with him the next time I'm through. And that story has resonated down through the years because there's something inside of us. We all want to be the Good Samaritan. And the choice starts with our time. Will we take the time to catch our breath, to stop thinking only about ourselves, and to offer help to other people? You know, think about it. Every day, God gives you the opportunity to be greedy with your time or to be generous with your time. Every day, God gives you 86,400 seconds and says, be generous with some of them. Every day, God gives you 1,440 minutes, and he says, take at least a few of those and be generous. Every day, God gives you 24 hours. He says, yes, use some for sleep, but also use some to help other people. And you know, the truth is, God can take away our time just like that. Our time can end. Our time can be over. So let's make sure we use part of what we've been entrusted with to grow in Christ Jesus, to become more like Jesus, to be generous to other people. A number of years ago, somebody taught me to pray a little prayer that I continue to work on. And the prayer is, God, what is the best use of my time today? You know, that's a good refrain. That's a good prayer. God, what is the best use of my time today? You know, you can't do everything, but what's the best use? What will most honor God? And, you know, we're so blessed here at The Journey to have people who are willing to honor God with their time. You know, this morning, way early, people came up and they turned this high school auditorium, the worship arts team, they turned this high school auditorium into a church, and they set up all the stuff that we see here today. Same thing out in Journey Kids. They came in, they scrubbed that cafeteria, they made it safe, they made it sterile, they made it clean so that our kids can have a great experience and learn more about God and the Bible and Jesus. And then all the folks in the blue shirts that you see here today, they chose to be generous. This past week at our office, people came by day in and day out, and a whole group on Thursday that comes in to serve, being generous with their time. You see, our next verse, it reminds us that no matter what we do for God, no second is ever wasted if we use it to be generous. No hour is ever wasted if we do it for the Lord. Look at that passage, 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says, so, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and steady, always enthusiastic about the Lord's work. For you know that what? Nothing you do for the Lord is ever wasted. So being generous starts with my time, choosing to invest part of my time in serving others, serving God. And then number two, being generous also means being generous with my talents, with my talents. You see, we can be generous because God has been generous to us. God is generous to us in that he gives us these hours, he gives us these minutes. But then God also imparts to us certain skills and certain abilities and certain talents. We sometimes call them gifts, we call them strengths, we call them attributes, we call them talents. But you know, in this room, there's a lot of unique gifts in this room. You know, some of you in this room, you're really good with numbers. Some of you in this room, you're really good with your hands, and you can hammer, and you can saw, and you can build things. Others in this room, you're really good at organizing. Some of you in this room are good at speaking. Some of you in this room are good at writing. Some of you play instruments like are up here on the stage. Some of you can sing. Everybody in this room has some gift or talent that God has given you. And being generous means you say, okay, God, I'm going to use part of my time and part of those talents to honor you. And so the question is, how will you use the talents God has given you? What will be the driving force behind how you use your talents? Will it be greed? And the talents are all about me and making a living and bringing attention to myself so that I can become more popular? Or will my talents be about making a living, using them not only to earn and make a living, but also to use them for God? Ephesians 2:10. God has made us what we are. He gave you these gifts, these talents, these skills, these abilities. In Christ Jesus, God has made us to do good works. Go ahead and underline those two words, which God planned in advance for us to live our lives doing. You know, part of the role of a church family is to give you a chance to use your talents. Part of the role, reason you want to be a part of a church is because we can do together what we can't do individually. But God blesses you when you use your talents. And here's God's standard. He says this, a spiritual gift, that is these talents that God has put inside of you, these gifts that God brings to life when you become a Christian. He says a spiritual gift, follow along very closely here, I don't want to misread it. A spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of making a living. No, that's not what it says. Good. A spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. Before you turn the page, go to your connection card. I put something on the back of your connection card this week. And I know many of you here have found your place of service at the Journey. You found your team that you serve on regularly. But if you haven't yet found that place of service to use your talents here at the Journey, let me encourage you to learn more about some different areas. If you look down at next step number 3, the one with all the check boxes, it says sign up to serve. Send me more info about volunteering in the following areas. Maybe you want to be a part of the Sunday welcome team. Those are the folks who wear the blue shirts, or sometimes they change colors depending on the teaching series that we have. Maybe you want to learn more about being a part of the worship arts team. Worship arts is a big team. It's not only the folks who sing, that's a big part of it, and the folks who play the instruments, but there's backstage of people who work with the computers and the graphics like you see up on the screen, or the sound, or the lights, or even different things that go on during the week like setup. Then there's the Journey Kids team. Pastor Matt was talking about that. In fact, next week we have the Journey Kids tour. If you want to go in there after the service and see what's involved and see where you might find your place, nothing like impacting young lives and raising children up and training them in the way that they should go. Or maybe volunteering at the Journey office, coming in when you have a moment, or coming in on Thursday like the formal team that comes in and volunteers that day. If you don't have that place of service, or maybe you've been serving in one area but you want to switch to another area, you know, that's okay here at the Journey. Once you find an area, it doesn't mean you're stuck there. You know, we want you to find that place where you can really grow and serve and make a difference. So check an area and say, I'm going to use my talents. And if you're not sure, just write it down. Say, okay, Nelson, here's what I've got. Here's what I would like to use. Help me find my place of service. And we will help you find that place. Back in your notes. Generous with my time, generous with my talents. Then across the page, generous with my treasure. God gives you this time to use for Him. God gives you these skills to use for Him. And then God blesses you financially. And He says, hey, use a portion of that for me as well. Generous with my treasure. Every time I've said that this week, I keep thinking about pirates and like a treasure chest or whatever. But it does start with T, so it fits really well. But this, of course, is your salary, your income, your finances. God blesses you in that area. And He says, okay, use a portion of that to be generous to other people. Of course, pay your bills. Of course, take care of yourselves. But God says, take that first part, what the Bible calls a tithe. You take that first 10% of what you earn and you give it back to Him, and you're generous in that area. And probably a question a lot of people ask is, you know, does Jesus really want us to do this? Well, I put this verse in your notes, Matthew 23:23. Some religious folks were having an argument with Jesus, and finally Jesus just said, look, yes, you should tithe. So of course Jesus said you should tithe. Now what is the tithe? The tithe is the first 10% of what you earn. So you earn $100, it's that first $10 that you earn. So God says, look, take the 90%, live on the 90%, pay off your debt, pay your mortgage, live off of that, but let me bless it and use the 10% for Him. And the truth is, when you give the first 10% to God, He blesses the other 90%. And if you've ever scratched your head and say, I don't see how I can do it, How can I live on 90%? I can't do that by myself. And you're right. So you need God's blessing. So when you're generous, God blesses the other 90%. And then you have the supernatural power in your life. And God says, if you honor me, I'll take care of you. So Jesus says, yes, you should tithe. That's the first 10% that you return to God. And by the way, I have no idea why it's 10%. You know, why did God, you know, he could have said 50%. That seems like a good deal. Half, half, and half, okay? God gets half, we keep half. But he said 10%. It's just enough. It's easy to measure for whatever reason. So he says, yes, you should tithe. But then what's interesting is, Jesus goes on to say, and you shouldn't leave the more important things undone either. You see, in our day, we make such a big deal about our money. But Jesus said, no, money should just be foundational. Just get this taken care of because there's a lot of other things that I have for you to do in addition, more important things. Now, last week, I introduced these three C's to you. If you weren't here, that's okay. We'll go over them again today. But we've been thinking about in this series, how does God grow a Christian? How does God mature a Christian? How is it that really somebody grows? Because just being a Christian for years doesn't mean that you mature. In fact, we probably all know somebody who's been a Christian for decades, or at least they say they've been a Christian for decades, and they're not very mature. Well, what we've been looking at is exactly how God grows us. So let's go in our notes. I want to summarize this here, and then we'll apply it to what we've studied so far. Notice, first of all, that God grows me through my commitments. So spiritual growth, spiritual maturity starts with a commitment. So you make a commitment of your time to God. You make a commitment to a next step on the back of your connection card. You make a commitment to give. All spiritual growth starts with a commitment. If you're going to step up, you've got to make a commitment. But then you've got to keep that commitment. It's not just enough to make the commitment. You've got to keep it. And that's what the second bullet is about, and that's consistency. You know, if you just serve once, you'll grow a little bit. If you serve regularly with your talents and skills, you'll grow a lot. If you just give a little bit of your time once a year to God, then you'll grow a little bit. But if you give a little bit of your time every month or every quarter or whatever to God, you'll grow a lot. If you just give once of your tithes and offerings, then you'll grow a little bit. But if you give regularly and you get into the habit of giving every time that you get paid, then you'll grow a lot. And then the problem with commitment and consistency is that you can fall into a rut. And so you kind of are going along and you're doing okay, but then you can get into a rut. And this is what the last C is about, if you want to jot this down, and that's challenges. From time to time, you have to challenge yourself to really step it up. So you make a commitment to give, let's say, and then you become consistent in giving. And let's say every month you're giving $20 to God, and you're consistent in doing that. But you know, in order to grow in that area, here's what you have to do. You have to challenge yourself in that area. Well, I want to challenge you today in this area of giving. Now, I challenged you in the other areas as well, but in this area of giving, I want to challenge you here at the beginning of the year to make a commitment for the next 6 months to bring the full tithe to God. You see, a lot of people who give regularly, they're not tithers, they're more like tippers. You know, they give $5 to God here or $10 to God there. They've never actually brought the full tithe to him. And you know, the problem with that is that you're not getting all of God's blessing on your life. You know, when you're not tithing, you're always going to struggle with your finances. When you're not tithing, you're never able to get ahead on your debt. When you're not tithing, you're always arguing about money in your relationships. So the tithe is really the path to freedom. So here's my challenge. My challenge is to make a commitment for the next 6 months to bring the full tithe to God. In fact, on the back of your connection card, that is one of the next steps. To accept, and are you man enough, woman enough to accept this challenge? To accept the 6 month tithe challenge and say, okay, I'll do it for the next 6 months. I want to make a commitment and I'm going to challenge myself right here at the beginning of the year. And then we put together some resources and some different helps that we will send you along the way to help you keep that commitment. Now, maybe you're already a tither, okay? I would say I'm already a tither. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to recommit in this area. So whether you are going to make the commitment to tithe for the first time or you want to recommit, let's do this together. Let's all say today, we're going to make sure for the next 6 months we're returning my full tithe. I just did a little thing with my accountant where I sat down and I said, okay, let's just reevaluate my income. You know, I make my living as a writer, so there's royalties and different things, and they come in at odd times. I said, okay, let's look at what I did last year, and let's make sure I'm on track for this year. And even though I would say I'm a tither, I'm recommitting to this area. So whether you're tithing for the first time or you're recommitting to tithe, accept that six-month tithe challenge. And here's what I'm really challenging you to do. Put God to the test. Put God to the test. You know, this is biblical, and in a sense, Malachi, God says, test me in this area. So test him and see if he won't bless your socks off when it comes to, well, you might need your socks, a little cold outside. But let's see if God won't bless you in this area over the next 6 months. I hope you'll take that challenge, because how you handle your money is foundational. It's foundational to your happiness, it's foundational to your spiritual growth, and it's foundational to whether or not you live this life of greed or generosity. Just a real quick side note. Some of our church is a very generous church. So maybe you've been tithing, and maybe you're recommitting to the tithe, but perhaps that's not enough for you to challenge yourself. You know, one of the reasons we do the step-up offering at the end of the year and the beginning of the new year is so that you can give sacrificially. And, you know, you've been seeing the flyers and you've been seeing the areas of the step-up offering. Maybe God's challenging you to give a special one-time sacrificial gift. You know, you've been giving regularly. You've got this consistency going on in your life. But maybe God has said to you, hey, you need to give a special one-time sacrificial gift to the step-up offering. And maybe it's a number that scares you. Maybe it's $5,000, biggest gift you've ever given. Maybe it's $10,000. For some of you, that you would have to really stretch it if you're going to give that gift. Why not say, God, I'm willing to accept that challenge to make a difference with missions, to make a difference in community service and with the poor here in the area, but more importantly, to step up my spiritual growth so that I can experience more and more of you in my life. Jesus says it this way, Matthew 6, 19 and 20, don't store up treasures here on earth where they can be eaten by moths and get rusty and where thieves will break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where they will never become moth-eaten or rusty and where they will be safe from thieves. Let's read this last sentence out loud, starting with wherever your treasure is. Ready? Go. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart and thoughts will also be. So invest a portion of your treasure. Choose generosity over greed in this area. So let's review. Generous with my time, generous with my talents, generous with my treasure, and then on the back of your notes, generous with my testimony. Generous with my testimony. Now, this is only for those of you who are followers of Jesus. If you're not a follower of Jesus, you can be generous in these other areas, but when you make that decision to step across the line of faith, you say yes to God's forgiveness, you say yes to following Jesus, you say yes to eternity with him in heaven, you then have a testimony. You then have a story to share, to tell the world. And God wants you to be generous with that testimony. You see, God didn't save you just so you can keep this good news to yourself. He says, when you have an opportunity, when the door is open, don't kick the door down, don't force it, don't be rude, but when the door is open, step through it and tell other people about this most important priority you have in your life. You see, if you're a Christian, your greatest testimony is to share how God gave his son Jesus so that you can be forgiven and have eternal life in heaven. God's done that for you, and then in this really cool way, he uses you to tell other people about him. And you see, God's generous to us so that we can be generous to other people. And God wants us to tell other people what he's done. In Acts 26, Jesus is talking to Paul. We all know him as St. Paul, as the Apostle Paul, but he had quite a history before he became a Christian. In fact, he was a murderer, and he tried to kill Christians before he met Jesus, and then his life was changed. And so here's what Jesus says to him. He says, I've appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and my witness. A witness is someone who simply tells other people what they have experienced or what they've seen or what they've heard. So if you've experienced Jesus into your life, if you've seen God's blessing in your life, if you've heard his direction in your life, then you tell it to other people. And then here's how Jesus says it. You are to tell the world about this experience. Now, Paul was to tell his world, and we're called to tell our world. Tell your neighbors, tell your coworkers, tell your colleagues. And this is sharing your testimony. Now, part of sharing your testimony, or maybe we could say it starts Sharing your testimony starts just by inviting someone to come to church with you. That's not everything when it comes to sharing your testimony, but that's a really easy thing to do. Studies have shown that 50% of people will come to church if a friend invites them. So if you've got a friend, if you've got a colleague, and they say, hey, what did you do this past weekend? Or, you know, what's going on that you're running out to your growth group every night? Then invite them to come to church with you. And as I told you, we as the pastors, we've been especially praying for this area in our church. And as we approach our third birthday coming up in a few weeks, I don't want us to become content as a church. You know, there's still a lot of people, like hundreds of thousands of people, like 83% of South Florida, who still needs to hear the good news of the gospel. So we've been praying about this area and praying for you as you invite your friends. And one good news to report is last week we had 16 first-time guests at our church. You know, some churches go all year and don't have 16 new people come through their doors. And last week we had 16 first-time people. So keep inviting. Keep letting people know. Pick up resources. Take the message series. Take home the programs. Take those little cards that we give you from time to time and invite your friends. That's part of being generous with your testimony. But there's also a way to go deeper. And I put this in your program, and I failed to bring it out here with me. But look inside your program and find that little worksheet that says My Testimony. Do you see that? It's in the back of your program. It's a little half page. And on the front, it gives you some guidelines for actually putting together your story. And it's a guide for how you could write a 3 to 5 minute testimony that then you could share. And you know, husbands and wives, you might want to practice on each other tonight. And if your children have never heard your testimony, or you've got the grandkids over this week, or you're going to be around a friend, say, hey, you know, I'm doing this experiment at church where we're writing out our testimony. So you see it says, before I met Jesus, what my life was like, how I met Jesus, and then the difference it made. And this is a guide that you can use to really develop your testimony. Now, the Apostle Paul had this big testimony. The Apostle Paul was a murderer. Before he became a Christian, he meets Jesus on the road. He's blinded by the light, so to speak, and then his life is radically changed. And that's a testimony worth studying, but a lot of people say, you know, I just don't have that kind of radical testimony. I have an average testimony. Well, here's the good news. There's a lot of average people, all right? Most of us are never going to be St. Paul. Most of us are never going to be in that situation. Most of us are just average people. And maybe you don't have a testimony where you were on drugs or you were involved in something really big, or maybe you do. I don't know. But I do know this, God will use your testimony. And if you will take just a few minutes to prepare using that worksheet and think it through, God will put you in a place where you can be generous. So choose to be generous with my testimony. So let's think about these four areas for just a moment. Have you made the decision to be generous with your time, with your talents, with your treasure, and with your testimony? You know, that we started with that study about the most generous nations. There were some surprising ones on there. Now, in doing that study, they didn't regionalize it, but I thought, what would it be like if they did a study of, say, just Florida? And lo and behold, you know, our portion of Florida ranked as the most generous area. And what if they did a study of organizations and they found out that the Journey Church was the most generous of organizations in the area? Now, I know a study like that's never going to be done. But it doesn't mean we can't make the decision to be generous. You know, not to win recognition or to be a part of some study, but we make the choice today to be generous as individuals, as a church, so that we fully honor God with our time, our talent, our treasure, and our testimony. My challenge to you today is let go of greed. Let go of greed in all of these areas and choose generosity. You know, I'm taking these next steps along with you because I know at the end of our time on earth, our life is going to be defined by either greed or generosity. I want to choose generosity. And there is one other question. If your life were to end today, how would other people define you and how would God define you? Would it be greed or generosity? If your answer is not what you'd like for it to be, then make the decision today Change the course today. Choose generosity today. Be outrageously, extravagantly, radically generous from here on out. Generous with your time, your talent, your treasure, and your testimony. Step up for generosity. And that's my prayer for you. In fact, the prayer is from the little book of Philemon, verse 6. It says this, and this is my prayer for you. You are generous because of your faith, and I'm praying that you will really put your generosity to work. For in so doing, you will come to an understanding of all the good things we can do for Christ. That's my prayer for you. Let's bow our heads and pray that prayer to God. God, thank you for each person here and for their desire to become a fully developing follower of Jesus. And God, we have so much to be thankful for. We're thankful for your generosity to us, your generosity in sending your son Jesus, your generosity in forgiving us and saving us and giving us a home in heaven. So God, today we're grateful for that generosity. And God, today we choose generosity. Help us to be generous because of our faith. Help us to really put our generosity to work. And in doing so, help us to come to a great understanding of all the good things that we can do for Christ. So I thank you for each commitment that's being made here today, for the consistency that's modeled, and for the challenges that are being received. And then if you're here today and you've never opened up your life for the first time to Jesus Christ, and you've never accepted his generous offer of forgiveness and purpose and eternal life in heaven, maybe today you want to become a follower of Jesus. So maybe just right now, you want to say, Jesus, I commit to following you. I commit to your way. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and coming back to life so that I too can find new life here on earth and then eternal life in heaven. So Jesus, I commit to follow you from this day forward. I want to be a Christian. I want to live for you, live through me, and teach me to be a generous person. For your sake, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for joining us for this podcast. This is only part of what you can experience live at The Journey. When you join us for a Sunday service, you can expect practical teaching, rockin' music, casual dress, a great kids program, and a church experience that's actually fun. Visit BocaJourney.com for service times and information. If you would like to give to the ministry of The Journey, you can give online anytime at www.BocaJourney.com/giving. If you have questions or feedback, please email us at info@BocaJourney.com.